Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. Now keep in mind while we read this passage of Scripture, the subject, two ways to win them. Two ways to win them. Let's begin reading in John chapter 4 with verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." When the Samaritan woman went to the city to tell the people about Jesus, they believed her. Many of them did. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, the Bible says. They believed her personal testimony. And so when we think in terms of the topic today, two ways to win them, the first way is with the personal testimony. That's what she gave. She gave her personal testimony and they believed her. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." You know, many people are intimidated about witnessing. And I suppose one of the reasons, well, there's several reasons. One of the reasons is, you know, well, my life's been so bad. My people I know all my bad stuff. Well, this woman had 5 husbands, was living with a man. That's bad enough by itself. And so that, you know, they disqualify themselves over that. They disqualify themselves over fear. They also disqualify themselves because they say we don't know enough Bible. But, you know, then those are probably 3 of the principal reasons that people won't witness. But let me tell you something. You know your own testimony. And that testimony that you have about what Jesus Christ has done for you is a great place to start when you want to witness to somebody. You don't have to worry about fear. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You don't have to worry about your past life. Everybody's got a past. And some pasts are not as bad as others. I understand that. But hey, when one past is put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what difference is it to another past that's been put under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? They're both gone. The sins are behind his back. They're far removed as the east is from the west. They're in the depths of the sea and under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're forgotten. They're forgiven. So you don't have to worry about that. People will ridicule you about it a little bit. They ridicule Jesus Christ, and he had no past life except perfection. They accused him of being a winebibber and a glutton. If you didn't have a past life, they'd make one up on you. When you finally decide to sell out for God and do something for God, if you don't have a bad past, they'll make one up on you. And if you do, they'll exploit it on you. But through your personal testimony, people can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about the fact that you don't know enough Bible to testify about people. Tell them what you know now and learn the rest later. So tell them what you know that Jesus did for you. And the best time to start doing that is the day you get saved. You say, "Oh, I got to clean up my life a little bit. I got to spend some time in church a little bit." Hey, you can tell anybody anywhere at any time what Jesus Christ has done for you because it's real. It doesn't change. It is a matter of fact. You know, I've been giving my personal testimony for about 16 years straight now. And you know one thing that's really strange about it? It never grows old. I'm just as excited to tell somebody about what Jesus Christ did for me when he changed my life I'm just as excited to tell them about it today as I was the first time I told anybody about it. And I tell you what, there are people that know me, that I've talked with, and that know what the Lord's done for me, and I've bored them to death telling them again and again and again. I get excited about it. And I know you do too. It never grows old. And my personal testimony still helps me witness. Why? Because it is my testimony. It's what Jesus Christ did for me. And you have a personal testimony. People who aren't saved don't have a testimony. They have a religion. And that's nothing to brag about. That's nothing to testify about. Who cares? Oh, you know, at some point in time when they die and people are given the eulogy, I guess it makes some difference then, because the preacher's going to bring up the subject, you know, and say, well, you know, so-and-so was baptized when he was a kid and this and that happened to him. But, you know, that's typical. Most people have gone through an experience like that. Don't be religious with your mouth shut. Open up your mouth as one who is really saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell them what God's done for you in Jesus Christ. That's the Bible testimony. That's the Bible way. That's what this woman did. Listen, if she and Jesus Christ had had this conversation out there by the well, and she went ahead and received Jesus Christ's testimony of himself and believed that he was the Messiah and believed that he was the Christ and marveled that he knew all of her things and that he was the prophet that was prophesied by Moses and all that stuff, and then grabbed up her water pot and kept it all to herself and went back to town and maintained business as usual. Let me tell you, there would be a whole lot of people in that city that would have never heard about Jesus Christ. She told them. Furthermore, this fellow that she was living with, that thing would have never turned out good. No, as soon as she found the real thing, she dropped it, man, left the water pot, forgot about all of that past, and went in there and told him, said, you better come see this fella. This is the man right there. This is the man. And you know something, throughout the New Testament, there are myriad testimonies just like hers, and they're in there to fortify God's desire that you and I go and tell people with our mouths the exact thing that Jesus Christ had done for you. Now, if Jesus Christ never done nothing for you, you're not going to have anything to tell. In which case, get saved and let Jesus Christ do something for you and then go tell. Look in Mark chapter 1, for instance. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now what did the fellow do? And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But you know what he did? He went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. He was told specifically by the Lord Jesus Christ to keep his mouth shut. And he was so impressed with the fact that Jesus Christ had immediately healed his leprosy, he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And went everywhere, what did he say, began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. And so Jesus had to stay outside of town. And you know what? His testimony was so impressive, people were willing to go outside of town to find Jesus Christ so they could do something with him out there. Now that's the way to do it. Mark chapter 5. Great testimony of the man in the Gadarenes that has the devil removed from him. It's a major deal. Major deal. In Mark chapter 5 verse 18, after all this was done and the man that was possessed with the devil, had the legion, he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and all these pigs had been killed. It's a pretty impressive thing that happened there. Jesus Christ decided to leave. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. So what did he do? He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Isn't that amazing? The guy says, I want to go with you. You saved my life. Jesus says, no, stay here and tell him. So he goes to Decapolis. My understanding is that Decapolis was a cluster of cities, 10 cities. That's the Deca. And, you know, like you have Metropolis, 10 cities. How great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. So that guy couldn't keep his mouth shut. What do you suppose it is about your life that has caused you to zip your lip? You think it's bad preaching? Where the guy says, just live out lifestyle evangelism, and you said, well, that appeals to my flesh. I think I'll not say anything in the office. I'll just flit around there like a Christian, and people will know just by looking at me that really and truly I'm a child of God. Yeah, don't kid yourself. You've got to open your mouth. Say what it's hard to do. Well, yeah, that's true. There's always that temptation to keep your mouth shut. I understand that completely. And unfortunately have given into my flesh's temptations to keep my mouth shut on numerous occasions. Hey, you know what you and I need to do? We just need to brave up and get like that old leper and get like that old demon-possessed naked man running out there in the tombs, and get like this old Samaritan woman out there by the well and say, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody's going to say. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, has done something marvelous for me, and I want other people to know on the off chance that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and let him do something marvelous for them. Let's don't be selfish with what we know. Look in John chapter 9. Sometime the change in your life is so radical that even if you did want to keep your mouth shut, it's so obvious to the people that know you, they can't help but inquire what's happened to you. Now, I had people come to me and say, what happened to you? You're not the same man. Well, that was a real blessing to me because it let me know for sure that the change Jesus Christ had made in my life was so profound that it was as if something physical had happened. I mean, in other words, where they could see the healing of a blind eye like that guy in John chapter 9. When he got healed, in John chapter 9, verse 8, the neighbors therefore and they which before had seen him that he was blind said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? Now, I love his answer. Look what he says. He answered and said, A man. Every opportunity that we get on this radio broadcast to remind you that salvation is in a man and not in a church or in a religion or in things, we tell you that. Now, you might find Jesus Christ in church. And you should be able to, if the church is doing right. But you're not going to find him in things and relics and rituals and creeds. You need to find a man. And he says, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Now, there's nothing profound in his testimony except that he simply tells exactly what Jesus Christ did for him. And that's enough to stir up the remarks and the questions and the marvels of Jesus Christ. Look down here in verse 25. He answered and said, Now the Pharisees are starting to get troubled about this, you know. This big deal here. This is getting too much attention for Jesus Christ and not enough for them. So they're pestering him a little bit. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You see the testimony? That's amazing grace. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And again, I love his answer. He said, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? I love that sarcastic little statement he makes there. Because he knows that now they're up to trouble. And if they were sincere in inquiring about his testimony, that they might be saved, he'd love to answer. But the truth of the matter is, look at their response in verse 28. Then they reviled him. See that? He was willing to take heat for Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ had done something that was unmistakably beneficial to the man, and he was not going to change his story to protect his standing in the synagogue. I love it. John chapter 9, verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now he puts it right there, Johnny, on the spot, and of course they kick him out of the synagogue. I didn't say that giving your personal testimony was going to necessarily win you a bunch of friends or guarantee you a promotion or bring you into good standing with all of your family. As a matter of fact, you might get the same treatment this guy did, and that's one of the reasons you're afraid. But he couldn't deny what Jesus Christ had done, and if that cost him his standing in the synagogue, he said to himself, so be it. I wonder if you're willing to take a stand with Jesus Christ. You know, he hung in humility, naked before the eyes of his own mother for your salvation. Don't you suppose you could humble yourself and take a little hit on the chin to say a few good words for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you going to be like Paul, like Peter, and run and hide and deny him whenever it costs you a little heat amongst the friends? John chapter 12, we read also that Lazarus took a little heat for his stand. Well, after all, he'd been raised from the dead. Wouldn't you say something about that? The chief priest consulted that he might put Lazarus also to death. Why? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So look at Lazarus. Look at the blind man. Look at the man in the Gadarenes. Look at the leper that was healed. Look at this woman of Samaria that found the Messiah at the well. These people could not, did not, would not shut up about what Jesus Christ had done. Why? Because through their testimony, many people believed, and whether it cost them anything or not was totally inconsequential to them. They wanted others to know, this man, Jesus, has done something good for me. Why would they do that? Because that's the way people get saved. That's how to win them. You say, I don't know very much Bible. Yes, sirree, but you know exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you. You might not have been saved 15 minutes by the time you hear this sermon. Well, bless God, go tell somebody and tell them right now. A good friend of mine got saved. The first thing the preacher did is took him down to the best friend he had. The next day, they tried to lead that fellow to Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal a man that's crippled. You know what he did? He leaping up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Couldn't keep his mouth shut. I'm bewildered. What is it that compels you to keep your mouth shut? It almost seems like Jesus ain't never really done anything for you. Maybe that you know a lot about him, but you're really not saved, and he's never done anything for you. Well, if he hadn't, get on your knees, let him forgive you of your sins, let him wash you in the blood, receive him personally as your Savior. Get out of hell and you go tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Amen? But not only did they believe the testimony of the woman, they believed the words of God. Look at verses 41 and 42 again. Many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Son of the Savior of the world. Now, I'll never cease to be amazed about people. I've talked to literally thousands of people about Jesus Christ. And of those thousands of people that I've talked to, few will ever bother to pick up a Bible and read the words of God themselves to see what, in fact, it is that the Lord Himself has to say about their souls and their lives, their future, and their condition. I mean, after all, how many people do you know that take their Bibles to church? How many people do you know that have Bibles at home, but they never bother to read them? I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he says he had this new study Bible he was so really interested in, and he said, you know, I tell some of the people that I deal with, don't even bother to read the Bible, just read the notes, they're so good. God, that's crazy. I was flying on a jet one day, and three ladies were sitting in the seats in front of me facing each other so that I could actually see the ones that were facing aft. I was in the next row. They were talking about these great Bible community-type Bible studies they're in and the great notes that are in their study Bibles and which Bibles they love the most. And you know the funny thing about them across the board? Their Bible studies had all stopped for the summer, and none of them were reading their Bibles. You ask yourself the question, what was the Bible study all about? If a Bible study doesn't compel you to dig into your Bible and study the book and stay faithful to study the book and read the book and hear the words of God from time to time, it makes you wonder what in the world the Bible study is all about. The study notes? The preacher? The teacher? Man, how are you ever going to know what Jesus said if you don't read what He said? Now, you know when Jesus Christ was dealing with people, oftentimes He'd get them into the book and tell them to look for themselves. I mean, He thwarted off temptations from the devil by quoting Scripture. He'd deal with people, and whenever they'd ask Him questions, He'd give them Scripture. He'd ask them questions about Scripture. It was always about the book, never about just Him. So the purpose of testifying to people about Jesus Christ is to get them saved. But I'll tell you what, if you can just get them into the book where they'll read for themselves, they'll be like these Samaritans who said, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, we've heard Him ourselves and know." Get them in the book. Get them in the book. They're so reluctant to read. Maybe you haven't been reading the Bible. Read the thing. Study it. Check it out for yourself. When Jesus met the men on the road to Emmaus and He wanted to testify of His own resurrection, He didn't show them His hands and His feet. What did He do? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Why? Because it's the Scriptures that testify of Jesus. They said afterwards, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scripture?" See, that's the way Jesus Christ revealed Himself to them, in the Scripture. Then He dealt with His disciples, and the Bible says, "Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead." The third day. That's the way He explained the death, burial, and resurrection. From the law of Moses, from the prophets, and from the Psalms, the things concerning Himself. He was always pointing people back to the book. And indeed, that's the right thing. We're looking for people to get saved. That's one of the things I find detestable, by the way, about modern Bible. They get them into a thing like that, and they can get saved in there, but they're not going to grow very far. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, what was so good about that? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Timothy 3:15. You see, if they'll get in the book, the Holy Scriptures, bow their head before God and say, "God, help me to understand this thing I'm reading." The Scriptures are able to make them wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, when the disciples were going around, Paul was going around, all those guys were preaching, and the church was growing, and the mission efforts were expanding. They encountered some opposition, but they ended up in Berea, Paul and Silas did. And you know the testimony of the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11? The testimony was this: they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and watch it, searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. When I preach, I tell people, don't take my word for it. Of course, they will because they think I'm telling them the truth, but I say, confirm it. Go back home and check it out for yourself and see if, in fact, what I told you is not exactly so according to what the Bible says. They searched the Scripture. That's what Jesus Christ told the people that he was witnessing to do. In John chapter 5, verse 39, which we'll study shortly, he said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Get in the book if you don't know for sure. In Isaiah chapter 34, you have a direct command from God Almighty. You know what it is? It's a command to read the Bible. I wonder how many Christians who name the name of Christ, who are really saved, I wonder how many of them really take this command and do exactly what God told them to do. In Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, God said, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want or mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit hath gathered them. What did he say to do? Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. See, that's the way to win them. If they'll read the book, they'll find Jesus. One of the great things the Gideons have done is they've placed these Bibles all over the world in these hotel rooms and things. I go in there every time and I check them out. Most of them have never been read. They're watching TV and all the pornography they can get coming into those rooms or whatever they're watching. I'm not criticizing that. They see some programs on there that, and so forth and so on. You know what they're missing? An opportunity to read God's words. And you know what Jesus Christ said the problem with all that is? In Matthew chapter 22, in dealing with the Sadducees, who messed up something, Jesus Christ said to them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Don't ever, ever, ever let yourself get in a situation where you'll stand before Jesus Christ one day to give an account of your actions and words and thoughts and doings and have him say to you, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Get in the book and tell the people that you're talking to about Jesus Christ to get in the book. It is the only way in the world that they're going to get to know Jesus Christ and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get them in the book. If they don't have one, buy them one. And get them in the book. Say, which one should I buy? Get a King James Bible. Don't have time to explain to you why. Just put them in the right book, okay?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.